No mortal in the world could look for a closer relationship with the Delphic Oracle than that enjoyed by a Spartan king. Each one, in an arrangement unparalleled in any other state, had two ambassadors, the Pythians, on permanent standby, ready upon a royal gesture to gallop north and put questions to Apollo. The kings were, after all, the distant relatives of Zeus, the king of gods. Their countrymen naturally looked to benefit from such a bloodline. If the kings had the ears of Apollo, then the state had the ruling of the kings. Like magnificent but captive predators, they were kept in the strictest Spartan manner under close and ceaseless watch. By each other? By the council of elders, the Gerousia? By the mass of the people? As Spartan greatness flourished, and the opportunities for foreign adventures with it, a once insignificant magistracy, the Ephorate, began to operate as both inquisitor and guardian of the kings. Five in number, the Ephors were elected annually from the whole assembly of citizens, and so could legitimately claim to represent the people. The calling of royalty to account by the Ephorate was a ritual which would occur at least once a month. Should it be discovered there that a king was an offender against the gods, the Ephors had the right to dismiss him from his throne. But Sparta was a city governed, in the final reckoning, not by kings or Ephors, but by custom, and by the inimitable character of her people. To the quality they most universally prized, the Spartans gave the name Sophrosyne, soundness of mind, moderation, prudence, self-restraint. Then, in 520 BC, a new king came to the throne. Cleomenes would wield power ruthlessly. A strong man in charge of Greece's deadliest war machine was an alarming prospect for the whole of the Peloponnese and beyond. In 519 BC, barely a year after his accession, Cleomenes led an army across the isthmus towards central Greece. For Athens was a growing power, and so a potential threat.